Daughter Arise, Girl Talk with Sister and Sarah.
I sing yellow and gold as a new day dawn, like a virgin unveiled who waited so long to dance and rejoice and to sing her song and to rest in the arms of a love so strong.
Hello again. I am Sarah Denny.
And I'm Sister Tracy.
Welcome to Daughter Arise, Girl Talk with Sister and Sarah, where we explore together the gift of our identity as daughters of the Father and how we can authentically live the feminine genius in today's world. So today on our show, what we really want to talk about is the beauty and centrality, it's a cool word, of the human person. What does it mean to be human, and in what ways in our society and our culture, or maybe we're losing sort of an appreciation for the human person.
And I think, you know, what brings this up is that so often, you know, we're in the midst of doing our life and, you know, even just being in the airport, sometimes you can go through all these different checkpoints and what have you, and you might not even see a human being.
Yes.
Whereas before, you know, you always had an encounter with a person. And I remember hearing a doctor talk about how, you know, in the past, to diagnose a patient, you often had to sit there and listen to the patient's story about, you know, what's been happening, how long it's been happening. Now there's all these check boxes that you have to check off, and you send it through a machine. You send it through a system, and then the system feeds out what's the diagnosis. Whereas for this doctor, he was saying, I feel like I'm missing something.
Yeah.
You know, and I even feel it, you know, because I, as a sister, I move around a lot. I travel a lot. And I'm always giving, you know, talks or presentations. And many times the things that I find people respond to the most is whenever I throw in a story about growing up or a story that I've lived or something that, and As I travel, I'm like, I don't want to lose contact with who I am, like where I come from. And I try to get my brother, you know, to tell me stories about growing up because he remembers it all. I mean, he's got this like really great detailed memory. But again, it's to figure out or to touch again who I am and where do I come from. And I think that in our culture, there's a great hunger for that.
Yes, I agree. I think too, you know, we were talking over the break and we were discussing about when we have the opportunity to almost be cut off from our cell phones, I think it almost gives us permission to remember those things that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. For us ourselves to have the permission, but also people are more almost understanding that, oh, like they don't have access to, you know, cellular data right now, so we can't really talk to them. But what's interesting is that the gift of technology, again, I think there's always a need to talk about the balance. It's not that technology is bad, but if we truly are the human persons involved in this equation, that means we have freedom, and I have the invitation to choose. Am I going to allow technology to be a gift that serves me, or am I going to be dominated by technology and almost enslaved to it?
Yes. Yeah. And I know, you know, as daughters of St. Paul, we care a lot about the media. Mm-hmm. We're all about, you know, using the modern tools to communicate the gospel, to communicate in general, because, I mean, we really are, as human beings, we're made to communicate. We come from a Trinitarian communion.
Right.
God is a Trinity, and God chooses to reveal God's, the deepest identity of God is God is love. Well, what is love? Love is a giving and love is a receiving.
Right.
And so often our existence is defined by how am I called to give and to receive love, communication, encounter. So the question is, does the use of my, the media that I have or surrounding us every single day, does it enable me to grow in that communion with other people, communion with those who are kind of maybe younger than me, older than me, of the same culture as I am, of a different culture? And how does it maybe cut me off or depersonalize the other?
Right. Just because there's a contact doesn't mean that there's communion. And I think that's sort of the invitation. And I remember, too, a little bit connected to this is one time I heard Peter Kraft say that we have created all of these, you know, technological advances and interventions to save us time. And he's like, but have we really saved time?
Mm.
Or have we just more so complicated? Well, we haven't almost forgotten the gift of what time is. Like the gift of that I can drive in a car with a friend, and we literally almost pass the time, that can be restorative instead mm-hmm. of needing to fill it endlessly with this task or that task.
Yeah. One of the things that it's just so refreshing when I go home on vacation, mm-hmm. My mom and dad live in the boonies, and they are not on the most, you know, cutting edge of internet technology, and the phone still rings in the house.
Yes,
and
that's awesome.
They spend a lot of time reading. Mm-hmm. So like there's no noise. Really, there's no noise. And I feel so refreshed at the end of those weeks that I'm with them.
I think you described it to me one time as you said, I felt like I was on a retreat,
yeah,
but it wasn't a retreat.
But it wasn't a retreat. Mm-hmm. And the cool thing is, you know, it's also regenerative in that I'm connected to nature. I mean, I just walk
yes.
out into our backyard and they have like these beautiful pecan trees, and in farther away they have these old live oak trees with moss and the yeah. I've taken a million pictures. My dad thinks I'm crazy. Every time I go home I take another picture of them, but they just never get old. If
right.
you follow my Instagram, you'll see the same picture like every year.
And I think that's beautiful, like
yeah.
the gift of recently I had the chance of going into the mountains, and I honestly, I just wanted to be Fräulein Maria from Sound of Music.
Oh, yeah.
And like spin around on top of the mountain.
Yeah.
But truly, there's something restorative about even just psychologically speaking. Like we've read studies on this.
Mm-hmm.
And for one of my classes, I had to study ecology and Laudato Si, which is the encyclical that Pope Francis put out.
Mm-hmm.
But he actually talked about the need for us to cultivate within ourselves a healthy balance in ecology, showing that like even how we treat the environment, what it really is a reflection of how we treat our own interior.
Mm.
And so I think like the invitation too is when we can put ourselves out there and almost like expose ourselves to just the quiet and the silence. At times it's uncomfortable because we kind of have to reacclimate to that. But then we find like, oh, I can be at home here
mm-hmm.
in this quiet and remember who I am.
Yes.
Aside from all the voices and the distractions.
And doesn't it too like put you in a position of you realize, wow, I'm totally not in control here.
Yeah.
Like
you're so
you
little.
Know,
yeah.
You can't tell it to stop raining
mm-hmm.
if it's not stopping to rain, you know, it's just going to rain. Or like if I have stood before great mountains
mm-hmm.
In Canada near in British Columbia, and those mountains are so old and so grand and so huge, and you know the passage of time is marked by the layers
right.
of the rock, and this has preceded me and my little life by so many years.
And the gift that it takes off that pressure of like, wait, I'm actually a lot smaller than I probably
yes.
usually think I am, right?
Right.
And that there are these things and these people and just the movement of the world and the time, like, no, maybe I can't like change the whole world right now.
Mm-hmm.
But what I can do is in my little orbit, I can choose to offer love. And
mm-hmm.
and today, a part of what we wanted to focus on in this show is really sort of this concept that Mother Teresa, we feel like, truly tried to embody and share with us of, yes, it is a gift. And we obviously love, I've never been, but I'd love to go to Calcutta one day and to
mm-hmm.
visit and to work with the sisters. But she would have people come and she would then tell them, go home.
Yeah.
Like you need to go home because what you need to do is find your own Calcutta. And truly, she noticed that in America, specifically within this country, the poverty is not as easy to, in a sense, cure or alleviate, because she said here, it's a material thing in terms of bread. They're hungry. Let me give them bread and supply for their need. She said, but in America, you think you have everything you need, but the poverty is that you're unloved,
mm-hmm.
right? It's this human interaction that
mm-hmm.
we're like aching for.
Yeah. And she even talked about that being unwanted.
Yes.
And even that, just knowing how we can kind of swim in and out of that place, even with everything that we have surrounding us.
How you can be in a crowded room
mm-hmm.
and feel totally
mm-hmm.
alone.
And it's even, you know, sometimes it's a feeling and sometimes it's an actual reality.
Right. Right.
You know, so the question is like, for me to find my Calcutta means like, it throws that discernment to me. Where can I give the gift of my presence as a true gift, right. You know, where I'm not expecting.
It's just, yeah, it's an offering. I think too, I know we've talked about the airport, but it kind of makes me think back because I was recently traveling and it doesn't mean that my Calcutta is going to look quite the same from season to season, nor is it going to look the same as the person next to me. But it really is, I think, let me be open and present to my reality. So at, on this particular day, my reality was I was going to be traveling for like 20 hours and I'm walking through this airport. And I realized, like, for most people, and granted, there's a moment when you need to be on your phone to check, hey, what time is my flight? And I really need to not miss this. But otherwise, I'm like, there's, we're all walking by each other.
Yeah.
But I don't see anybody.
Remember? And like, remember the movie Warm Bodies? Did you see that movie?
I didn't.
Nobody
but I know
saw
you love
that
it.
Movie.
I'm just it's a, not zombie a zombie movie. Girl.
It was the year of the zombie. But the opening of that movie, just watch the opening. It's hilarious, but it's sad. It's a great commentary. It's zombie time, but he remembers back in the good old days when people were actually alive. And he says, yeah, we really were connected. And then the memory goes back to him walking through an airport and people, no one is looking at anyone else.
Like, people are almost surprised when I smile at them, but you can tell they like appreciate it. They can't even give me anything. Like, I'm literally just smiling and I'm going to keep going because I got to fly home, you know, but like, it was such a gift for me to remember, like, oh, like, even just a smile. And that's another Mother Teresa thing I know that I've loved is, like, if that's the only gift I can offer someone, like, praise God, but like, offer the gift.
Yeah, you're not asking for anything back. You're offering a human connection. And you're saying eye to eye, you are worth smiling at.
Yeah.
You're someone that I can actually give the gift of my face.
Yeah, my person, like, through just a smile and loving in that way.
Yeah.
So really, you know, it's not like we're trying to give you this equation and you need to change your whole life and go do something.
Or you could
crazy.
Change your whole life.
You could. If you feel called to that, praise God. We want you to respond however you need.
We can all be changed.
Our invitation for you is with us too. It's the same question, you know, because we all go through seasons, is how can we be present to our own realities and realize that all these things that maybe you've been blessed to go on a mission trip and you've been blessed to serve the poorest of the poor, or even work with Mother Teresa's sisters, and, or, you know, it could be another country and another group, but praise God that you've had that experience and for all the blessings that we've been given. But how can I then go home and love the very people in my own life, in my own family, which are often the hardest to love?
And it might mean making a connection where you have assumed for so many years that there just isn't a connection. Or maybe, as we've talked in other shows, there's a woundedness and you don't want to go there again.
Maybe it's that I need to start praying more intentionally for those people that I think, oh, like, we can't bridge this gap. The chasm's just too wide. And instead, just say, instead of me thinking that, I'm in a new place, they're in a different place, let's offer this to the Lord and ask Him to transform it.
Yeah, there's so many opportunities for that. All we have to do is open our eyes and look.
Amen. Amen. To truly see and to be seen. That's really our desire as human beings. So thank you so much for joining us today. We're going to talk more about this after the break, so stay tuned.
Our family has spanned the centuries and the globe. With God's grace, we started hospitals to care for the sick. We established orphanages and helped the poor. We are the largest charitable organization on the planet, bringing comfort to those in need. We educate more children than any other institution. We developed the scientific method and founded the college system. We defend the dignity of human life and uphold marriage. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are transformed by sacred scripture and sacred tradition, which have guided us for 2,000 years. We are the Catholic Church, with over 1 billion in our family, sharing in the sacraments and fullness of the Christian faith. Jesus started our church when he said to Peter, the first pope, "You are a rock, and upon this rock I will build my church." So if you've been away from the Catholic Church, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today. We are Catholic. Welcome home.
Welcome back to Daughter Rise. I am Sarah Denny.
And I'm Sister Tracy.
And we have been talking today about finding our own Calcutta, really the gift and the invitation we have in our everyday to cultivate a sense within ourselves of just the human person, and trying to remind ourselves that we need to see each other not just to go about our days and maybe get overwhelmed in such a way, especially maybe with technology, that we're maybe in contact with someone else, but we really aren't connected deeply. And so what I had referred to in the previous segment was this quote from Laudato Si, which is an encyclical that Pope Francis wrote on the environment. But what I was not expecting to read when I read this document was truly what he's trying to cultivate is this sort of deeper interiority for each person within ourselves, not to get overwhelmed by what he calls almost this culture of consumption that media and technology can be for us. And so specifically, you know, if you are just a budding theologian and want to read the document, I recommend paragraph number 47. But in that particular paragraph, he says that when media and the digital world become everything for us, what it can do is keep us, almost become an obstacle for us from learning how to think wisely, to think deeply, and really to love generously. He brings about the reality that there are people, and he calls them sages from the past, that if we get almost drawn into all the din and the noise, we can no longer hear their wisdom that truly is echoing to us. And it reminds me of too, when we say that, you know, we stand on the shoulders of giants. And there are so many great people that have gone before us and have lived, and truly it might look different, but they've also lived in cultures of chaos. It just was a different kind for where the world was. But as he continues to reflect, he really challenges us that we need to have real relationships, not just relationships that are internet communication, where we can click, I want to be friends with them. Oh no, I'm not going to receive their friendship. I even think of the dating apps right now that are big, you know, like something like Tinder, like swipe left, swipe right. I'm laughing because I think it's absurd. But truly, you know, if we grow up in this culture, like we've been blessed that we can even have this conversation. But let's think about most of the culture around us. It's not for us to point fingers and say, how dare them? Oh my gosh, I can't believe that they would, you know, enter into the sphere. But to realize that they've never been told, like, you know what, you're more than just swipe left, swipe right, or clicking on, let me accept this friendship or deny this friend request. You're more than just the numbers that you can have. So what he, I would say, is inviting us to at the foundation of this is to realize that the media is a gift that enables us to share with others and to be with others. But what we need to be aware of is that it's not a replacement for true human communion and interaction, and that even connecting, yes, with their joys, but also we should not be afraid of the vulnerability of another person and to connect with their pain and with their fears. Because when we refuse to connect there, we see what is happening around us, which is this real isolation and distance from other people and from true interpersonal communion.
Yeah, it gets really, really easy to write people off because maybe of, you know, some superficial thing, maybe how they voted or what color their skin is, what their culture is, how much money they have, how much money they don't have, what religion they are. And we really do run the risk of annihilating our own sense of self by the way we treat, you know, others in situations where maybe the tension is high. And so it is a challenge for each one of us to find, you know, how am I called to see the person, to really let myself encounter them in their truth? And granted, now we're all in different places.
Right.
So it calls on me to be vulnerable because I can't assume that everybody's on the same page that I'm on.
And they might only be able to receive from me. I've seen people be startled by a hello and a smile.
Yeah.
You know, and like you're walking by and you're like, hey, and they're like, hey,
you know, it's like, are you going to sell me something? What do you want? But, and so it does, it puts us in a position of vulnerability, and we definitely live in a culture that, you know, it's sort of like, oh, if you hurt me, I hurt you back harder. And we don't really listen to the Lord's teaching that, you know, you've heard that it was said an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth. But I say to you, if you treat your brother with animosity and contempt, you can be, you know, committing a murder in your heart. And to live, you know, in a sort of humility that if I treat a person who treats me poorly with compassion or with forgiveness, it doesn't diminish me or make me less. It actually ennobles me to the truth of who I really, really am.
I become more full, like more whole in who I am and who I'm called to be.
Yes. And I think that that coming home we've talked about in the past, we need spaces to allow ourselves to come back to that place. And so often it can be in just being in a quiet, unplugged place.
Right. And so I think too, for women, just to put a name to, I think a temptation for us often is, it's a beautiful gift, our sort of spiritual maturity, no matter where we are in our lives. But sometimes in wanting to be almost everything for everyone, which is not our job, that's like God is the only one who's all in all.
Uh-huh.
We can, like we've talked about, put ourselves to the side and say, well, we don't have time for that, or I don't have time. But really, I just want to give you permission wherever you are in your life and whatever your vocation is and your role is and your job, whatever it is, give yourself permission to take that time, because we would rather, and I think deep down all of us as women, what we would honestly rather is to be faithful and fully present to fewer things than to be stretched thin across many things, but never really give my whole heart, because we know when we don't give our whole selves.
Yeah. Yeah. We know when we're sort of skimming the surface and it's like, okay, where am I?
Mm-hmm.
Who am I?
Yeah.
What am I trying to accomplish here?
Yeah.
You know, what is this goal I've set for myself? And I know that oftentimes it's our faith that can help us to remember who we are.
Sorry, I'm laughing.
Straight out of the Lion King. You know, remember
who
you
are.
Yeah, remember. But that's such it's a pivotal place, and it's our baptism that really sets within us an indelible identity.
Amen.
That nothing we do can erase, or nothing that has been done to us
can erase.
And this
is so one of my, I have a lot of soapboxes, perhaps too many, but there is this encyclical called Christi Fidelis Laici, and it's on the role and the call of the laity to be in the world. And I think the sisters, the Pauline sisters, have a special sort of like way that you live this out even through your own baptism with St. Paul and his mission of being in the culture.
Yes.
But it says that all of us, as baptized, meaning we are now sons and daughters of God.
Mm-hmm.
We have not only the invitation, but the mission to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, not by running from the world, but by being engaged with it, to be in the world and not of it, but that I participate in, they call the tres munera, the threefold mission of Christ, that I am called to be priest, to be prophet, and to be king. Meaning I am called, as a woman in particular, we do participate in Christ's priesthood. We participate in that we offer sacrifice to the Father. We participate as prophets, and that we hearken in our actions and in our words to truth.
Mm-hmm.
And then king or queenship, right? That to reign is to serve, and to serve is to reign. Mm-hmm. How are we called to serve the people and the reality that the Lord has invited me to in my own life, unique to me?
When I feel like I'm freaking out, like I'm like, oh no, I'm failing here, you know, you know, it's like, please, mayday, mayday,
right,
somebody
right.
save me. That's my homing device. The Lord reminds me of one thing. He tells me, rejoice in the truth.
Amen. The truth.
Rejoice
and
in the truth.
I literally was driving recently. Y'all are going to think I'm crazy, and it's fine. But I had to talk to myself out loud in the car because I was freaking out about, I just come home from a trip and I was really overwhelmed. I was like, I have to do this. And then I literally said out loud, I was like, this is not reality. I was like, I'm exhausted. I'm jet lagged. I'm sick just from traveling, and my body's telling me something. And I was like, but also this anxiety, I'm like, this is not Jesus.
Yeah.
The truth is that my reality is I'm okay. Everything's okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's no emergency around me, and we're going to do this. But what am I doing right now? Like, I was like, oh, I'm driving to Mass.
Yes.
I'm just going to go to Mass and be at Mass.
Right.
And nowhere else.
Right. What a gift it is whenever we can actually receive that beautiful awareness that God is
gift,
blessing me right now, and I can receive the present moment as it is. And it might be showing me my limit. It might be showing me my failure. It might be showing me my gift, whatever. But I can rejoice in that truth.
That the present moment really is my sanctuary.
Yes. And I think women in a particular way have a power of holding within themselves the centrality of the person and not dismantling the person. But, you know, in all of our complexity, we were talking about finding, you know, our Calcutta. Like many times there's a poverty in a person and a richness in that person.
The capacity to hold both.
And I think it's a challenging culture that we live in to that. It challenges that because the culture wants to kind of break into pieces,
disintegrate,
mm-hmm. So that we can control the parts better and reassemble it.
Right.
And I'm remembering a very beautiful and kind of it's an amazing talk that Cardinal Ratzinger gave in the mm-hmm. year 2000, and he talks about the fatherhood of God versus the beast of the apocalypse.
Wow! Yeah,
and he brought up the what happened in the concentration camps. In a way, they erased people, they erased their names, and they branded them with numbers. They erased their history, and they just made them something to be destroyed. And I think in our own culture, he talks about in our days that this can also happen with us if we lose track of the centrality of the person, of the mystery mm-hmm. of the person. And the connection he makes with the beast is that the beast doesn't have a name. He has a number. And God, on the other hand, always addresses us and calls us by our names,
wow.
by our true identity. And even God himself has a name. And so this is something that happens between persons. So anything that depersonalizes, we can boil it down to a very basic thing. It's from the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that puts the person back in the center comes from God.
Wow.
And
yes.
that in a big way is a work of woman to really reorient us back to the truth, to that true point of reference,
yes,
which is our identity
before
God. Because
that is mother. Mother invites and offers and nurtures what is life-giving.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
So, you know, we've shared the scripture verse before, but we were just wanting to share it again and just kind of invite you to prayer right now. And this is from the book of Zephaniah. And it says, "The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing." And so, Father, we just thank you for the gift of this time. And we ask that you would allow us to hear you even more clearly after all of the sharing that we've been able to do. Lord, I ask that just with these words from Scripture, that you would remind us, Lord, that we know that we really can't go out and offer this truth or see others around us until we first receive this truth from you as your daughters, that before we need to see another, we must receive the gift and the truth and the reality that we are seen above all by you. In every moment, no matter how we feel, Lord, that our emotions might be here and there, our energy level might be here and there, but Lord, we just thank you and praise you for the truth and the reality that you see us, you know us, you love us, and you have chosen us for this great mission to participate with you in bringing life into the world simply by being who we are and by choosing to see the gift of those people around us, whether there are family members or whether they're strangers in the grocery line, right? Or strangers that we meet in the airport. Just give us the grace, Father, to really lean into our realities and lean into the world and the environment that you have placed us in.
Perhaps, Lord, all you're asking us to do is help someone out there remember that they are your children.
Yes, Lord.
That they're your son, your daughter. And a look, a smile may be just the thing. Amen.
So thank you so much for joining us this week. We pray and hope that you have the grace to be renewed in his love and to see yourself and those around you as the gift that you are. We will see you next week.
Daughter Arise is a production of Catholic Community Radio.